Today on JSecio Live, a strongly worded statement from the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, calling John Bolton a traitor.
Live from Washington, D.C., JSecio Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Secchio.
Folks, in one of the, if not the most strongly worded statements in history by Secretary of State about another American and former U.S. official, former National Security Advisor, John Bolton, Secretary of State Pompeo, we can put this up on the screen for everybody so they see. This was officially released by the U.S. State Department in his capacity as Secretary of State last night. Here is the quote in the statement from Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. The headline is, I was in the room too. Remember, Bolton's book is called The Room Where It Happened. So the statement is, I was in the room too. And Pompeo goes on to say, I've not read the book, but from the excerpts I've seen published, John Bolton is spreading a number of lies, fully spun half-truths, and outright falsehoods. It is both sad and dangerous that John Bolton's final public role is that of a traitor who damaged America by violating his sacred trust with its people. To our friends around the world, you know that President Trump's America is a force for good in the world. Again, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo calling John Bolton's final public role that of a traitor who damaged America. Dad?
Yeah, well, these are obviously very strong words by the Secretary of State. A traitor is a legally defined term, one that turns on their country, harms their country intentionally. So he's obviously very upset about the allegations that are in John Bolton's book that involve him. And I understand why he would be upset, because it appears, and we dealt with this on the periphery during the impeachment proceeding. It appears, and again, it appears, I haven't read it, so I don't know what's in it, but it appears that there's a lot of information that's in this book, and according to the pleadings that have been filed, that violate national security. Individuals that violate national security of the United States of America, that can be treasonous activity. Now, whether it reaches that level or not is for a court to determine. But again, what Mike Pompeo said there is, to be clear, as lawyers that litigated the impeachment case and had to deal with the book again on the peripheries, those are very strongly worded statements. But Andy, treason is a very high legal bar also.
Treason is a high legal bar. Treason against the United States is a capital offense, Jay. I mean, to call somebody a traitor means that you have violated the sacred trust of the people of the United States by selling them out to foreign enemies that could actually undermine the republic. And as I said, it's a capital offense, and the Secretary of State has come out guns a-blazing calling him a traitor. I don't think he's wrong, as a matter of fact, because this Bolton is an opportunist and an adventurer who has taken the position of National Security Advisor and twisted it for what? Monetary gain, Jay.
Yeah, Mike Pompeo, obviously, and I think the Secretary of State's doing a great job. He's a friend. I think he's doing a great job. Obviously, he was also in that room, so he knows what was going on. And obviously, there's a disagreement as to what was going on. But as Andy just said, I mean, let's face it. This book was in the works the moment John Bolton left the administration. I dare say probably was in the works while he was at the administration.
Folks, when we come back, I mean, more, too. You know, the crime of treason is the only crime defined by the U.S. Constitution in Article 3, Section 3 of the Constitution. But it's also been codified, and the punishment is death. I mean, it's a serious charge. And if you look at Black's Law, definition treason, you know, traitor, being a traitor against your own country. If you look at this statement, final role, you damaged America by violating your sacred trust with its people. We'll be back taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. If you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, share this with your friends and family, because there's a court trial set for 1 p.m. today on blocking potentially this book temporarily.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Back to Jay Sekulow Live. If you are just joining us, I encourage you to, if you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, click that share button. Share this with your friends and family, because this is in many ways historic because of the statement from the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, in response to what has been reported about John Bolton's book, The Classified Information. Remember, there is a lawsuit by the Department of Justice against John Bolton, and they have now included Simon & Schuster to get a temporary restraining order on this book. That hearing is set for 1 p.m. Eastern time today. Judge Royce Lamberth, who was appointed by President Reagan, will hear that. This, again, it's for a temporary restraining order. And the Justice Department argues that, again, they want this to go through the regular review process. It's not because he just says mean or nasty things. It's about the classified information. And what the Department of Justice argues is that John Bolton submitted his book for publication without first getting permission from the government through the pre-publication review process, and that it contains classified information. And not only that, that it's written in a way into a narrative that makes a traditional kind of scrub of a book quickly impossible, is actually. So because of the narrative way it's written. So, Dad, not only do we have this very strong statement from Secretary of State Pompeo calling John Bolton, former U.S. ambassador to the U.N., someone that conservatives respected. I say respected. I don't think many of them do anymore. Even people who disagreed with some of his more interventionist foreign policy respected him as a diplomat and then as national security advisor. He obviously had issues with the president's worldview when it came to foreign policy, especially I think Bolton's clashing on the interventionism and always wanting to kind of intervene. There's even report that he was, you know, wanting to strike Iran and was not in favor of the North Korea talks, things like that. Wanted to stay in Syria full scale. But you have, Dad, Secretary of State Pompeo issuing an official statement from the State Department in his role as Secretary of State, saying that Bolton's final public role is that of a traitor who damaged America.
Yeah, and these are very strong words coming from our Secretary of State. Now, again, I don't know what's in the book. He probably does know or at least his office does because of the intergovernmental review that's going on here, I suspect. I don't know that. But obviously there's language in that book or things in the book that the Secretary of State finds to be beyond troubling. So to use that phrase traitor is it's a loaded word, and it's a word we're very cautious at using, by the way, at the ACLJ. Let me be clear, and as my role is counsel to the president. I'm very cautious about saying the word traitor. But the fact that Mike Pompeo used it and said it's treasonous, basically, gives everybody pause, because that's a very strong, a very direct statement, and one that has serious consequences. Now, whether it will reach that level in a courtroom or whether they'll even proceed that way is one thing. But again, I just want to underscore, as Jordan said and Andy alluded to, the only crime defined in our U.S. Constitution, Andy, is treason.
That's right. And treason is a capital offense. Someone who gives aid and comfort to the enemy, someone who damages the country, someone who intentionally does something that is going to hurt the nation. And this book is full of national security top secret information, because Bolton did not wait to go through the full clearance process of pre-publication. And I think that when you're looking at a 500-page manuscript, it's obvious that he began writing this diatribe against the president and the nation when he was probably still in the White House, keeping notes about what was going on and intending for this book to come out. This wasn't just a last-minute thought that came into his head. He had decided that he was going to put this on paper and attack his ex-boss in this fashion. But in the process of attacking his ex-boss, he is attacking the nation and subjecting the nation to national security disadvantages and concerns. I hope Judge Lamberth takes that into account in making his decision on whether to grant a TRO in this case, and I know he will.
You know, it's interesting, because when you look at the, again, you look at treason, what is the legal definition of treason? Black's Law Dictionary defines the word traitor as a person who commits treason. So then you go to Article 3, Section 3. Treason against the United States shall consist, and this is only, and it actually defines what treason is. So what is it to be a traitor? What is it to commit treason? Shall consist only in levying war against the United States, or adhering to the enemies of the United States, giving them aid and comfort. No person shall be convicted of treason unless on the testimony of two witnesses to the same overt act, or on confession in open court. It gives Congress the ability to declare the punishment for treason, and that is done in 18 U.S.C. Section 2381 of the U.S. Code, which says, whoever owing allegiance to the United States levies war against them or adheres to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort within the United States or elsewhere, is guilty of treason and shall suffer death, or shall be imprisoned not less than 5 years, and fined under this title not less than $10,000, and incapable of holding any office under the United States. So, I mean, it's serious, because when you use this term, it's an important historical, legal, criminal law term. And, of course, it's the only, I mean, think about this, the only crime that the Constitution identifies, defines specifically. It's it. That's the only crime. Is treason. So this is a very strong statement. And Dad, to get to the court case as well, and then we'll start taking folks' phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. That's today at 1 p.m. So right after we're on the air, there will be audio of that, so people can listen to it, and we'll have some of that for Monday's broadcast. The judge is going to have to make a decision pretty quickly here on the temporary restraining order, because this book is set for release on Tuesday, the 23rd.
That's right. So there's a TRO hearing that's actually set for today. So we may actually see a temporary restraining order issue. Those are very hard to get, but this is the kind of, but when you're involved with national security matters, that's the kind of case where you would get it. So that hearing is going to take place today. There's a scheduled interview already with ABC News that's scheduled, I think, for tomorrow. So that's in place. Sunday. So look, I mean, I think the fact of the matter is the review process should have been completed, and former Ambassador Bolton should have complied with the request from the department. And many of the people reviewing this are career government employees that are reviewing this to make sure there are no national security issues that are involved. In fact, the fact that he's having discussions with from the president also, to me, is another point, Jordan and Andy. And that is, this is a situation where you have the president of the United States seeking advice from one of his most senior advisors, National Security Advisor. And that is deliberative privilege. It is executive privilege. And John Bolton's a lawyer. Now, I don't think it would reach the level of attorney-client privilege as we would have. But my goodness, Andy, it touches a lot of the governmental privileges that are put in place to protect the communications between the president and his advisors.
Well, if you can't trust that your national security advisor is going to keep his mouth closed about deliberations and conversations that you had with him, and you're the president of the United States, then who in the world can you trust? President Trump was being put in this in position that he is talking to somebody who is his most trusted advisor on national security affairs, who essentially now has turned on him and said, I'm going to do a tell-all memoir of everything that transpired between me and the president, plus other people, and that affects the security of the United States. Now, the standard before the judge, Jay and Jordan, is the publication of the book likely to create an imminent danger of irreparable harm to the United States and the government has no adequate remedy at law? That's what the Justice Department has got to prove. And to me, when you have the National Security Advisor disclosing state secrets, that is imminent danger of irreparable harm to the nation.
We're going to go right to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Scott calling from Colorado online, too. Scott, welcome to JSEC-io Live.
Okay, Jay and Jordan, thanks for my call. You know, my comment is this. Where is character anymore? Even if it stems from policy disagreements, when someone like an Ambassador Bolton has a grudge or a personality conflict with the president, invariably that's a vote for the other side. And the other side is far worse. I mean, the Democratic Party's been hijacked by the left and Marxism and oppressive socialism. And has he not really thought through this? I mean, you know, you're selling yourself out to the other side.
I think you just hit the nail on the head. You're selling yourself out, Scott. You know, you could write a book. My dad's written books. I've written a book. Than's written books. You can write books. You get paid to write a book. You don't have to sell yourself out to write the book, though. That's what he's done here. Regardless, traitor, treason, if there's a TRO, if it ever gets published or if it comes out on Tuesday, he sold himself out. You're exactly right. You hit the nail on the head. And what he's doing is setting a dangerous precedent that this is not 30 years removed, 25 years removed. This is a current White House dealing with issues he's writing about now, classified information. We'll continue to take your calls. We're going to update you, too, on the Justice Act. There's some movement there, some positive movement there. We encourage you to keep calling those 13 Democrat senators up at ACLJ.org. We've got their direct phone numbers there, so you can call their offices, ask them to vote yes on the motion to proceed with the debate. That'll be likely next week.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. I want to go right to Than Bennett before we take more calls on Bolton and Secretary of State Pompeo's statement calling John Bolton a traitor. Because remember, yesterday we launched a grassroots a petition online at ACLJ.org in support of the Justice Act. Again, the Justice Act that we believe that we can't stay silent, that we have got to get this to move forward in the U.S. Senate so that they get past that motion so they can begin debate. What does that mean? It means 7 Democrats have to join 53 Republicans in agreeing to that motion just to begin the debate. Now, then it could pass with, you know, 50 votes plus the vice president, but it needs 60, Than, to get to the point to have a debate. And we've got a blog up at ACLJ.org. It's titled, "The Senate Can't Stay Silent. It's Time to Debate the Justice Act." In that blog, we have the link to sign our petition. We encourage people to call both of their U.S. senators and ask them to vote to begin debate on the Justice Act. But we also, I want you to go through, we've labeled, and your government affairs team, and as director of our government affairs team, 13 Democrats to specifically target. We need to at least get 7 to get this move forward. Tell people about those 13 and any new updates about where this is going next week.
Yeah, Jordan, you do need 7 Democrats to join with 53 Republicans to even begin debate on the bill. Technically, it's called invoking cloture on the motion to proceed. That really isn't important, Jordan. What's important is you have to have a bipartisan agreement to even begin debate on this. Now, the good update that I have for you from Leader McConnell. Leader McConnell had previously said this would be the first piece of legislation that the Senate would consider next week. He is sticking by that, Jordan. But he has actually announced that the first thing the Senate is currently scheduled to consider will be cloture on a nominee for the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, Corey Wilson. Now, let me tell you, I want people to be encouraged by this announcement because this is what it tells me. I want to be clear. This is me saying this, not Leader McConnell's office, but I've been around these negotiations well enough to know what this means. Jordan, this means that he has traction with Senate Democrats and he is trying to find the 7 votes that we talked about on yesterday's broadcast to get to that 60-vote level. There's a moniker in Washington, D.C. When you have the votes, take the vote. If you think you can get the vote, don't call the vote until you have them. That's what's happening right now, Jordan. I think there are Democrats in the United States Senate that are considering voting for this motion to proceed to get on this bill. And you're right. At ACLJ.org, we've compiled a list of 13 Democrats in the United States Senate that we think are gettable on this vote. It's an interesting mix, Jordan. It's those who are more moderate Democrats who are used to crossing party lines for votes like these. And then it's some really hardcore liberal senators, Jordan, because these are senators that have been outspoken on this issue, have been asking Leader McConnell to put legislation on the floor. And now that he has done that, we think they are gettable. Their telephone numbers, their direct dials are in that blog at ACLJ.org. That vote could still be as early as Monday, Jordan, but it also might be later in the week as Leader McConnell continues to try to get those 7 votes he needs.
So folks, to take action, I want you to assume that it will be Monday right now. So make sure if you're going to make those phone calls, and we encourage you to do it, there's 13 that you can call, U.S. Senator. We've got them out listed for you here. They are. It's Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey. And then for each one, it's not just the Capitol switchboard number that we provide you. We've provided you the phone number to their office in Washington, D.C. So it directly goes to Senator Booker's office. Senator Bob Casey of Pennsylvania, Senator Chris Coons of Delaware, Senator Kamala Harris of California, Senator Doug Jones of Alabama, Senator Tim Kaine of Virginia, Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia, Senator Jackie Rosen of Nevada, Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont, Senator Jean Shaheen of New Hampshire, Senator Kristen Sinema of Arizona, Senator John Tester of Montana, and Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts. So again, as Than said, a unique mix. They're all Democrats because you need 7 Democrats to move this forward to get to that 60 votes because all 53 Republicans are expected to vote yes. I encourage you, hey, if you can make 5 of these phone calls, 6 of these phone calls, all 13 of these phone calls, do it. And we've got all the information there and what you need to say. Be courteous, be nice at ACLJ.org. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. The name of the blog and where those that's listed, it's The Senate Can't Stay Silent. It is time to debate the Justice Act. And again, I want to go right back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. We're talking about the matter, too, with John Bolton, the case at 1 p.m. Eastern time today, right off we're on the air. Think about this. The Wall Street Journal editorial board, picking up on the last caller, wrote, quote, "We also have to wonder what happened to honor in public service." That's the Wall Street Journal editorial board. Let's go right to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Chris in Nevada, online 5. Chris, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thank you. Under the definition of treason that you mentioned earlier, would Joe Biden's acts with Ukraine and China fall under it?
Look, I want to be clear on something here. I think we need to be clear. The phrase treason and the legal consequence or the legal definition of what constitutes treason is a very high bar. So to say, it's one thing to say, I think your activities are treasonous. It's quite another thing to prove that that act was treasonous in a court of law. So I'm not going to start speculating on whether what Vice President Biden was doing was treasonous or not, or whether the actual actions of particular individuals constitute treason. I do want to underscore that our Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, has been very clear as to what he thinks this is. And he has said that it's really unfortunate that John Bolton's last act in the administration, or as he's leaving office, is treasonous. Or as an act of treason. Those are very, very strong words. We're reporting those words because, obviously, that the Secretary of State was in that room, too, and obviously has a very different recollection, Andy, of what took place.
And I trust Pompeo's recollection over Bolton's. Look, Bolton has proven himself to be an opportunist who is out for nothing but to sell books. This is to be the National Security Advisor to the President of the United States. Whoever that president is such a position of sacred trust, and you are invested with such information, sensitive nature, that really underpins the safety, the security, and the continued existence of the Republic, Jay and Jordan. This is not just somebody who's just a minor bureaucrat. The National Security Advisor is someone who is got the ear of the president. And after you finish your tenure, whether you have been terminated, whether you resign, or whether it's just by the natural sequence of events that you retire from the position, one is expected to maintain honor and basically do something very simple. Shut your mouth.
You know, it's interesting because in the statement, too, with itself, I mean, it's just, I want to just use the exact words because it was, the statement comes from the State Department website. Let's put it back on the screen. I mean, this is serious stuff. So you see it from the State Department website in the official capacity as Mike Pompeo as Secretary of State. This came out last night. He says, "I've not read the book, but from the excerpts I've seen published, John Bolton is spreading a number of lies." That's a strong statement right there, that he's lying. Fully spun half-truths, an outright falsehood. It's both sad and dangerous that John Bolton's final public role is that of a traitor who damaged America by violating his sacred trust with its people. Remember, this is John Bolton, who a few days ago tried to embrace the ACLU, and the ACLU, and actually tweeted out a tweet from the ACLU. That didn't go so well for him. And then the ACLU actually said, "Hey, now that we have your attention, John Bolton, please also see the ACLU statement on your atrocious human rights record." So you see, this selling out of John Bolton, it's not going so well for him. We'll see how it goes in court and how the book sells. We'll be right back. Second half hour coming up.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
We will fight for the right.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. In the second half hour of the broadcast, we are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Let me set the stage for you. So we have Department of Justice has sued John Bolton in federal court to block publication of his upcoming book. That's on scheduled to be out on Tuesday, June 23rd. That book, again, is called The Room Where It Happened. And he's trying again. This is about it. It's supposed to be a memoir of his time at the White House. Of course, he's doing this while that White House is still in office, while that president is still in office. Interesting enough, it's in the top 20 on Amazon, but you'd think a book that where it was getting this much attention would be number one, but it's happening at a time in the country where, is this really what people are paying attention to? Maybe not, because of all the unrest happening in the country and important conversations that we're having about race and police reform and what we're going to be launching on Monday, which we talked about yesterday and people started bringing up, is how we need to really reform our schools, those schools in the hurting neighborhoods, in underserved communities, and voucher programs, whether it's vouchers for religious schools, private schools, charter schools, secular private schools, that needs to be improved upon. And we're going to be launching a big effort at the ACLJ on that on Monday. And we've had callers bring that up on their own. So we had Harry Hutchinson address just a bit about that. Those are the big issues happening right now in the Justice Act. But this is still very important, because you have a Secretary of State who is called the former National Security Advisor under President Trump and the former Ambassador to the United Nations for the United States under President Bush, John Bolton, a traitor. He said he lies in the book and he's a traitor. And he did this in an official statement from the State Department website as Secretary of State. This was, again, a serious statement. We're going to take your phone calls on this, 1-800-684-3110. But I do want to just kind of reset this for everybody. I'll start, Dad. I mean, this, again, it's we've got the case. It's going to be before the judge in a half hour from now, if you're listening to us live. And this is the kind of case where the decision could be made today.
Right. It's a temporary restraining or a request for a temporary restraining order, a TRO, we call it. And those move very quickly. Usually, you argue the case, and it's either granted or it's not, and it's usually granted or not while you're there or shortly thereafter. Sometimes you're told, Andy and I have done these, sometimes you're told, don't leave the courtroom because that order is going to come out quickly. Now, I don't know if they're doing this. They're probably doing this over the phone, because of the situation with COVID-19 and the restrictions that are in place. But nevertheless, they'll have the lawyers available. TROs traditionally move quickly, but also, Andy, to be clear, TROs are not easy to get.
No, they're very difficult to get because you as the move-in have to show certain things. One is imminent danger of irreparable harm and no adequate remedy at law. In other words, a civil lawsuit where you're going to get damages is not going to compensate the move-in, the person seeking the TRO, enough. You've got to step in a court of equity, which is what Judge Lamberth would be sitting as, and say, look, there's imminent danger that's going to occur to the United States if this book is published in its entirety and spread around the world. And that's the standard that the Justice Department has got to show. And as you say, usually the decision on whether to grant or deny a TRO is made by the judge on the spot or shortly thereafter. So we'll know today. We're going to know today, that's my prediction, as to whether or not a TRO will be entered by the court.
Folks, we come back, we're going to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you're holding on the line, Jerry, Julie, David, and Rita, we will get to your calls. When we come back, we'll start taking those and your comments on Facebook and Periscope as well. Share this broadcast if you're watching on Facebook and Periscope. Click that share button now. Bring more people in to the broadcast and into the conversation going on during the broadcast that you all are having while we're live on the air. Remember to take that grassroots action for the Justice Act. You can do that by signing our petition online at aclj.org. We've got the list of 13 Democrat U.S. senators for you to call. We encourage you to try to do that today and Monday, because that vote could be as early as Monday.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow, and we've got my dad's with us, Jay Sekulow, Andy Economo's with us, Than Bennett is with us, and I do want to just update you right before we go to the phone calls. An important moment this weekend, the first political rally of the general election season. President Trump holding a rally on Saturday, tomorrow, in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You've heard the reports about, you know, a million people requesting tickets to that. I think they've got two outdoor stadiums next to each other to have this rally. I mean, they're expecting 40,000 plus people, I think, when you combine the two. It is outdoor. So in the time of COVID-19, being outside is supposed to, of course, limit exposure. Of course, people are making their own personal decision. No one has to go to this rally. But it's significant also because you're starting to see a schedule come together of President Trump back on the campaign trail in that setting that did so well for him in the 2016 election. So he's got this June 20, tomorrow in Tulsa, and then on Tuesday he's scheduled to be in Phoenix, Arizona, and then in July we know he'll be back in Mobile, Alabama. And remember, that was one of where he did his first major rally in 2016. It was huge in Alabama. I remember you could see, Dad, these rallies, that was when he his first big rally, kind of after he made the announcement he was running. And when he went to Mobile, it was gigantic, and you realized this candidate, Donald Trump, was for real.
Well, he took a different kind of approach to campaigning, and of course, in light of what's going on right now in the country, he's had to scale that back, but now they're ready to go do it again with precautions. And I think, look, the president on the campaign stump, and I think Joe Biden's going to start getting out too. I think they have to. Here's why. It's getting really close to the time. I mean, you're looking at now, what, 4 months away from a general election for president of the United States? So when you have that kind of situation, you are going to have campaigning activity, and I think that's about to start.
So I just wanted to update you on that. So that is beginning. This will be the first general election political rally, and we'll talk more about politics, of course, as these races get closer. But again, I think a lot of people will be tuning in because also it's one of the first large events, gatherings in the country since COVID-19. So let's go back to the phones, though. I want to answer people's calls, people on the line. Jerry in Rhode Island. Hey, Jerry, thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
Hello, team. In regards to everything that's been said, is the publisher, are they going to be exposed to potentially putting out treasonous thing after Pompeo's comments? And is this hearing going to be sanitizing that under First Amendment things If they don't get the TRO, is the publisher clear to publish it?
Well, if there's no temporary restraining order, the publication moves forward. I mean, and that's what the law is, and as the law should be, if the government doesn't meet its burden. Now, the question is going to be, you asked, yes, the publisher is now involved in this, Simon Schuster, and the question will be, and we'll see what the judge does with this, whether this reaches the level of infamy. Forget, put the treason and traitor stuff on the side for a moment and focus in instead on, is there information in there that's national security information that would be inappropriate to release? In other words, classified material. Andy, that's really what's going to go on in this hearing. They're not going to make a determination as to whether John Bolton committed treason. That's not what's up in these hearings.
No, of course not. That is just the Secretary of State's statement. That has nothing to do with whether or not this book is going to be published. I think the judge is going to say to Bolton, you had a contract with, or the government is going to argue to the judge, he had a contract with us, he signed exit agreements, he had contractual obligations to allow the pre-publication review process to take place to its completion, which has not yet occurred. And until that happens, the book cannot be published. And if you publish it, then there is no way that the harm that's going to be caused can be compensated to the United States in terms of monetary damages. It's going to be a harm that only an equitable action, that is a restraining order, can cure. That's going to be the issue before Judge Lamberth this afternoon.
All right, let's go back to the phones. David's calling from California on line four. Hey, David, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you very much for taking my call. You know, usually I agree with what you say, and I very much admire what you guys do. I voted for Trump reluctantly, but I really believe that what John Bolton's saying isn't any different than what Rex Tillerson said, what Jens Mattis has said, what John Kelly is saying, what the Republican Assistant Secretary of State who just resigned yesterday. I mean, they all have similar criticisms.
David, hold on a second here. Let's make sure we're all talking about the same thing. What a criticism against, I don't like the president's policy on such and such, if someone were to say that, Rex Tillerson or whoever. Rex Tillerson did not give away information that was classified. So David, make sure I'm hearing you right. You're not saying that it's okay to give away classified information.
First of all,
that's my question. Do you think if the information by our government is deemed classified by career professionals in the security institutions in our government, if it's classified information, do you think Ambassador Bolton has the right to disclose that classified information to the public without authorization?
I think that John Bolton is a Yale-trained lawyer.
I don't care if he was a Yale-trained lawyer. I'm asking a really basic question, David. If the information in the book is material that is classified and deemed classified by our government agencies that are in charge of this, do you think a person has the right, whether it's John Bolton or not, to distribute classified information to the public when it's not been declassified?
I don't believe the information he's disclosing is classified.
Have you read the book? Have you read the book? Have you
read
the book?
The excerpts, yes. I haven't.
You've not read John Bolton's book, so you don't know what's in it. I don't know what's in it. But career professionals in our government know what's in it, and they're saying it's classified information. And you don't get to distribute classified information. It really is that black and white, that clear. And I don't really think, David, you think it's okay to distribute classified information.
I don't think it's classified. Trump.
How do you know that, David?
I mean, that's just enough with David. Enough with David, Dad.
When you haven't read
it. It's enough with David.
There's no way you can know. Yeah. All right, there you go.
David does not get to decide what's classified and what's not. The U.S. government has a process for this. And part of the allegation, David, if you're still listening, and for everybody out there listening, is that John Bolton didn't even submit this for that review. So how would you know if there was a classified information or not if he didn't even submit it for the correct review process? And then he wanted a rushed review done when he realized, oh, wait, maybe there is something in here. I do need to actually comply with the rules of getting this reviewed by the White House for classified information. And then he wanted a rushed review. By the way, Dad, the White House is not saying they want him to never be able to publish this book. It is not saying because he can't be critical of the president, and he can't say mean things about the president. He can't disagree with the president's decision making or publicly known foreign policy decisions. That's not the issue. It's classified information. It's not being nasty or mean to the president.
No, and what I don't seem to understand that from the last caller is he has not reviewed the material. None of us have. And Andy, it's a very simple thing. If you were to have had classified information in your possession and you distributed it publicly, you would be prosecuted.
And should be. And the caller, I think, wanted to say to answer the question the right way, but just couldn't bring himself to say it and criticize the Yale-trained lawyer. Well, let me tell you something. The Yale-trained lawyer ought to know a great deal better than he does. Not only does he have a contractual obligation to let the pre-publication review process to take place, but he's got a moral obligation of good faith and good dealing with his country. And that is why I think the Secretary of State used that powerful word in looking at this at Bolton's book, calling him a traitor. I'm not saying whether he's a traitor or not. I'm saying he needs to follow the law, and the law says pre-publication review before that book gets out, and you don't know what it is, I don't know what it is, and the caller surely didn't know what it was.
Great phone calls coming up, too. We're going to take more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110. In fact, let's take this one quickly. Rita in Missouri, Than can answer this one on line 5. Rita, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you, and thank you for all you do fighting for justice and freedom day in and day out. It really helps us when you tell us what we can do at the grassroots level. And my question is, does it do any good for me from Missouri calling senators in other states asking them to vote for this bill?
Than?
Yes, it does, 100%. You should call both of your senators, Republican or Democrat, to make sure that they know that their voters want you to vote in favor of this. But, Jordan, this is a national issue, and it's also important for all 100 senators to know that the entire nation cares about this. And by the way, Jordan, we have 13 senators on this list, but agreeing to proceed to a debate on a topic of this relevance and magnitude, Jordan, that vote should be 100-0 every day of the week.
All right, folks, so we encourage you, go to ACLJ.org. You can take action. Call those senators. We have the direct lines, not just the Capitol switchboard. We have the 13 you should call. Call as many as you can. It's a simple message to vote yes on proceeding with the debate on the Justice Act. If you call today, it would be voting yes next week. And you need to get those calls in as soon as you can. That's at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
So if you're listening to us live, the trial begins on the temporary restraining order from the Department of Justice against John Bolton and his publisher, Simon & Schuster. That is before Judge Royce Lamberth. It begins in about 8 minutes. That's, again, on a temporary restraining order. The book is set to be released. John Bolton's book is set to be released on Tuesday. And I want to underscore, and Dad, that the government is not seeking to ban this book. It's not seeking for this book never to come out or never to be released. Their argument is that because of the way it was written, it's been very difficult to do the rushed review because he didn't submit it the right way the first time.
Yeah, so there's a pre-clearance review process that you normally go through. He did not. The book is almost 600 pages. Now, Andy and I have written dissertations that were very long and published by major publishers. But 600 pages to go through and verify, let me tell you, that is a lot of work for anybody. And we weren't dealing with classified information. So there's a process that was going forward. And these are career people within these agencies that are doing this. So it's not that, you know, you're not going to be able to argue it's partisan. When you see affidavits that'll be filed in court or have been filed in court by those that review the material saying there's classified material in here, these are not all appointees. These are also career people. So I think that you've got to be clear here that former Ambassador Bolton is real. I mean, he obviously has a bone to pick, Andy, with the president. That's clear. I mean, okay, so you could have policy disagreements, but to reach it to a level where the policy disagreement becomes, as in this case, a lot more than a policy disagreement, but publishing what is being deemed by the government to be classified information, that's a totally different matter.
It is. John Bolton, look, let's face it, Jay and Jordan, this is nothing but John Bolton's sour grapes that he was terminated as National Security Advisor. And he was going to write a tell-all memoir of what happened in the White House and how he was wronged and how he was right and how everybody else was wrong and how his policies should have been followed and President Trump didn't follow those and the nation was harmed as a result of it, etc. And in the process, he puts in classified information, which, as you correctly point out, has been reviewed or is being reviewed not by political figures but by career people in the security agencies. They're not out to keep him from publishing his memoirs or criticizing the president. Let him do that all over the place. He's done it since he left the White House, okay? The thing is, you've got to follow the procedures that you contractually agreed to do so, and that's what the court should hold him to do.
Let's go to Julie's call in Tennessee on line 3. Julie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. My question today is how the legality of brainstorming sessions, you know, that's a critical tool that's taught in all universities, and you use it probably on a daily basis. And a lot of time, and we're encouraged when you're in a brainstorming group to solve a problem, to come up with some really big ideas.
Out of the box ideas.
Exactly. And a lot of them are duds, and a lot of them lead to good solutions.
So you raise a really good point, and that's why in the under our constitutional framework, we have what's called when conversations happen with the president, because the president will have different views and listen to different views coming in, and that's the way it should be. And what you have happen is it's called the deliberative process privilege for exactly that reason, Julie, so that you can come up with other ideas, things that are out of the box. They may completely be discarded as an idea. You know, we're not going to use that. But it gets people thinking. And to now have that disclosed to the American people when it was conversations with the president or deliberative process, or in this case, also classified information. In other words, the deliberative process was based on classified information. It's really dangerous. Really, really dangerous.
Yes, let's keep going through the phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. I think we could take the final two calls of the day, Troy and Paul. We'll go to Troy first in Pennsylvania on line 2. Troy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jordan. Hi, Jay. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And thanks for everything the ACLJ does on our behalf. Really appreciate
it. My
question is this. Let's say, for argument's sake, the judge decides to rule in favor of granting the TR and the book releases stop. Isn't there some legal jeopardy that John Bolton could be facing given the fact that he may have released that transcript already to the
public? Well, there's been a lot of discussion about that, and I'll defer a little bit to Andy here, but this idea that the information that was in the book was shared with publishers and lawyers that may not have had the appropriate security clearance, you can't do that either. That can be problematic. Andy?
Yeah, and the government has also asked that a constructive trust be imposed upon any profits that he has made already in favor of the United States from this book. So he could be punished by having any money that he has made or any profits that he has earned be forfeited to the government. So that is something that he faces, as well as keeping his book as it currently stands from being published.
Let's take a final call of the day, and then I also want to get you up to speed again on some action items you can take today, throughout the weekend, and on Monday as well for the Justice Act. We've got that new petition up at ACLJ.org, as well as those Democrat senators that we need you to contact. We'll tell you how to do that. We'll have Than tell you how to do that in just a minute, but I want to take Paul's call from New York on line four. Paul, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Jordan. How are you today?
Good.
I'm just so sad that this is being even allowed to be published, because classified, doesn't that mean confidential?
Yes.
More than confidential. That's what I thought. Even. I mean, more than confidential.
To allow something confidential to be published, shouldn't that be deemed illegal and unlawful?
It is. Go ahead, Jordan. But
yeah,
it is.
I mean,
right.
We're talking about classified, because this is a situation that is even a higher standard than you would just say confidential information, which also is protected. But classified information is information that, if shared, would be detrimental to the United States. It would harm the United States. I mean, that's what this is about, harming the United States. States, you know, whether it's state secrets, a decision making, foreign policy decisions that are classified because of discussions that went on, of things that may or may not have happened, but the fact that they even were having, like, let's say, just have an example, Dad. You know that the president and John Bolton were talking about country C, and they were talking about, should we go in with this bomb? Should we go in with this many troops, or should we just come try to do some kind of economic deal punishment? Whatever option they chose, I mean, having a conversation about like bombing a country or taking military action in a country, even if you never took the action, would be classified.
Of course, and it's more than confidential. Classified information is information that cannot be disseminated. That's by its nature, that's what it means. So yes, there would be consequences for that as well.
And to quote again Secretary Pompeo about John Bolton, a traitor who damaged America by violating his sacred trust with its people. Than, quickly, tell people what to do for the Justice Act. Get on our website, call those Democrat senators.
Reach out to your senators and the 13 senators listed at ACLJ.org and just tell them very simply, you favor a debate on the Justice Act. They can decide how to vote in the end, but Jordan, they need seven Democrat senators joined with Republicans to have this important debate. That vote could be as early as Monday. So those contacts, Jordan, they need to happen today and over the weekend and into Monday.
All right, folks, again, we encourage you, go to ACLJ.org, take action. And if you can support the work of the ACLJ financially, do that. Make that online donation, ACLJ.org. It's how we bring you this show every day, too. ACLJ.org. Donate today.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.